Coming up on Patriots This Week, Championship Dreams.
Johnny Gomes!
It was fun to see the players out there.
Yeah, we got our inspiration from the Red Sox.
The Patriots' offensive firepower made it curtains for the Steelers.
Touchdown!
Look, we're a lot better now than we were 2 months ago in September.
This Sunday, the office is closed. Football is on hold.
Gotta get the house winterized, clean up some leaves. Put the patio furniture away.
And stay out of Gronk's way as the Pats say hi to the bye. That's right now on Patriots This Week.
That's the way you head into the bye week. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Obviously, I'm Scott Zolak. Joining me each and every week as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. He's not on the bye. He's with us this week. Former linebacker Matt Chatham. Matt, how we doing?
Doing well.
55 points, 197 yards on the ground, 432 yards from a quarterback that has taken a lot of criticism these past couple weeks. And, guys, this offense explodes against a team that's not the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not the Arizona Cardinals. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers, historically a really good defensive team. Wiggy, why was this team, why did they explode?
Obviously, they got the running game involved, but you get Gronkowski, who started to get his legs back under them. You had Amendola, who made some plays. Dobson made some plays. So I think you saw a complement of all the weapons, including the running game. The offensive line played well. They were able to protect and run block. And when you talk about this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, you know, they might not be playing as well as a team, but they're fourth in total defense, and they were second versus the pass. And for the Patriots to go out there and do what they did, you got to give them a lot of credit for that.
What I thought they did best this week was they played better chess. And I think each and every time a defense is in front of you, there's always a vulnerability. Every coverage, as we all know, has one spot you hit. Tom did a great job this week of when there was a hole, he found the hole. And that hasn't always been the case, and he hasn't always got great route running. I thought Rob was great this week at being crisp at the top of his routes, starting to get that separation when he had a guy on him, and just simply taking advantage of the situation. You mentioned a Wiggy. All these guys took advantage of their opportunities throughout the game.
I thought Brady absolutely abused Troy Polamalu. I thought he took that active safety. You know, they did it with play action. He did it with his eyes. He looked one way. He came back. Brady was 23 of 33, 432 in this game. Not many yards the 2 weeks prior, but you look at the points this team scored. Last 4 weeks, 30, 27, 27, 55. Offensively, the trend, it's got to be because the big boy's back, Rob Gronkowski, right?
I believe it is. And
I mean, it opens up the middle.
You know what? I play the position, and I've seen many of players in – Rob Gronkowski, I have to admit, is one of the best I've ever seen. And not only is he big and he can run, but his hands are so tremendous when it comes to catching the football. And like you talked about, Brady was able to just move Polamalu just a little bit with his eyes and still put a ball in there where Rob had a defender on him and made the play. And I think when you add that guy into the mix, it makes things easier for everybody around him. I played with a guy in Randy Moss, and that made it so much easier for me as a player. So when you have that type of guy, it's going to make things easy for you as a receiver to make plays.
See, I actually was surprised when going back and watching this game, Rob dominated really his matchup. And I think Ryan Clark was another guy beyond just Polamalu. I got moved a lot by the shoulder and the eyes, and Tom is so good at that. But I was surprised how little coverage Rob drew. And that's, I think, in part why they killed him. He was in one-on-one most of the day. It was very sort of mystifying what the Steelers were doing over there.
Talk about Dobson and his strides.
You see Dobson kind of making strides. Granted, they're baby steps, but he's still, like, headed in the right direction. And I know Matt had kind of talked about it. As long as you're going up like that, right. Where when you see Tompkins, it was kind of like up and then it's down. To be a healthy scratch, there's a reason why you're a healthy scratch. And when you look at, they're both rookies, and you look at Dobson, he's just still climbing. Yes, he still drops some footballs, but he's headed in the right direction. I don't really know what's going on with Tompkins in this situation.
See, I think the deal with Tompkins was more about the difficulty of getting Amendola and Edelman on the field at the same time. And they feel like Edelman can play the Z at least a higher rate as Kemble can. And it's hard to carry both when you're on a limited roster situation because they like to carry three tight ends.
Z's the move guy.
Z's the move guy. The guy that's off the ball, and yeah,
right.
Exactly. And really, both of them will do it. But the point is, if of the two wideouts, I think they're comfortable using Edelman as one of those guys.
Yeah, but wasn't Tompkins was that guy at the beginning of the year when they had Edelman and Amendola?
Yeah.
And he was that guy, and Dobson was the healthy scratch.
Well, not healthy scratch.
Well, not healthy scratch.
But I think the most important progression with Dobson has been the one time we saw him catch a back shoulder fade.
Yeah.
And that's important because as you're going to go late into the season, what do they struggle with in Baltimore? Downfield, outside the numbers balls. Right. And he has to catch that ball. He has to be able to
better
catch.
Better defenses are going to lock you up. You've got to find other ways to get open.
To be able to catch a ball. That was a great sign.
I thought it was a great sign by him throwing the arm up.
Yeah.
Indicating. Oh, the safety's at 7 yards.
I know, but I mean, not many rookies have the ability with a quarterback in their 14th year. Right. I'm going to do everything that guy tells me to do. I'm not going to take it on my own where I get by a guy, throw the hand up. And holy cow, I mean, Brady connects on it. Stephen Ridley, is there any more of a debate who's the number one back on his team and who should be in there on first down?
He has got to be your lead back. And then you have LeGarrette Blount that you kind of throw in there a little bit, and then you throw Bolden in there a little bit. But the majority of your carries should be going to Ridley. Ridley, to me, runs like Marshawn Lynch. He's just a smaller version, but if you watch the way they run, he's always downhill, north and south, and he runs hot. I just don't understand why he's not the main guy week in and week out.
Six starters on his defense were out at one point. Matt, you're a former defensive guy. How tough is that to manage these type of injuries that they're surviving with?
I guess it didn't strike me that way because I've
seen...
Six
starters out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge number. I agree, but I think the reason it doesn't strike me that way is because these guys have always been willing to mix these guys in packages. So we see them each week at 10 to 15 reps, and all of a sudden they have to get 30. So it's not quite the shock to either their system or ours.
I think when you look at the defensive tackles, they've done a good job. You know, Villano, Chris Jones, they've done a good job of kind of picking up the slack. Granted, they're not Vince Wilfork, but you know what? They've been able to step in there and make some plays.
How big is that Carter addition? I think bringing Andre in here was such a – you saw them going back to the little congratulation things after sacks. There's just this
mindset,
the hook thing.
3 weeks ago for even Carter.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
You staying in shape. But I think he was a guy they trusted that he would be in tip-top shape when he got in here.
Yeah.
And the bump that he gave them, the Ninkovich thing, you pray it doesn't happen. And it did. He's got a nice week here to recover, but you've gotten a lot of reps out of Michael Buchanan, so you don't feel bad if you have to bring back him. Jamie Collins is a guy that they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with him, but Andre is the Gerard Warren. He's the guy that came in when they really needed him, and he's strong enough at a mid-sized body where he can slide down, much like Chandler. It's great.
Cool thing about living in this town is, you know, when one sports team wins, you kind of celebrate, and it was good to see this the Boston Red Sox come to Gillette Stadium this past week and hoist the World Series trophy, and a bunch of guys came out. You saw them with the Patriots jerseys. You guys won it before where you walk out the Green Monster. I mean, that is such a cool thing. Which Red Sox player would make the best football player? Start with you, Wiggy.
I would probably say Jacoby Ellsbury. I think, you know, when you look at him.
What sport are you watching?
No, I'm saying as far as his athletic ability.
Or what, being an actor?
Well, where are you going to put Big Poppy?
What, are you going to put him on a scratch?
Where are you going to put Big Poppy?
Put him a nose tackle.
Poppy!
Jacoby Ellsbury. Yeah.
Speaking of 230-pound guys, good luck with that.
I want to build my team around.
It's probably, it would have to be him or maybe even Middlebrooks that could make the transition. You got to look at athletic ability. Yeah. A lot of these guys are not really good athletes.
Johnny Gomes running down under. Give me Mike Napoli. Give me Mike Napoli because you got December and November games coming up, and there's going to be no sleeves on. That dude was walking around.
Wait, what position is he going to play?
What position is he going to play?
Put him out there. Just have him run in the wall.
Is he going to play DB?
Down under a kick.
DB,
he runs like a 5-2
level. Maybe?
Push somebody.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury.
I think Jacoby's the best answer as well. I thought about Poppy. I mean, he's big Poppy in baseball. He'd be small Poppy in football. So
I would have him absolutely stunned.
Who do you got? That's the biggest
I just said Napoli or Gomes.
And to be fair here, there isn't a Patriot on the roster that could hit a 75 mile an hour fastball. So let's just make sure this isn't
it. I don't think they throw 75 miles. It's more like 95.
We got a wrap here. Coming up next, what is political correctness too much in the National Football League? We got that more when Patriots This Week continues. Ellsbury? Are you kidding me?
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Aaron Dobson. The 6'3" rookie wide receiver caught 5 balls for 130 yards in a breakout game against the Steelers. The West Virginia native hooked up with Tom Brady on a back shoulder for his first TD, then connected on an 81-yard sprint to the end zone. Dobson's hoping to follow the success of two other Marshall University players who had success with the Pats, Troy Brown and Randy Moss. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, joined by two guys from the Jacoby Ellsbury fan club over here. Can't believe that stuff. Guys, we got to talk about Golden Tate. He was flagged for obviously taunting on an 80-yard touchdown pass last week. It was a fair call, but the head of NFL officiating said in the future the league may look into negating touchdowns where you're being accused of celebrating too much. Are we getting to the point here where you can't have fun anymore?
It's two sides to that coin. So I actually agree. I don't like when guys taunt from 30, 40 yards out, but I don't want to take points away from them. I think it should be applied to the next play. I think it should be on the kickoff, that kind of deal. And the reason I have the biggest issue with this is I think the NFL is a little hypocritical with this, and I think they have been in the past. They market and license video games where they give swagger points for celebrating as you go in. And it's an NFL licensed product. And they sell it. They'll market the swagger.
The Julio Jones
and then commercial. They'll penalize the swagger, and that doesn't make sense to me. And I think they're absolutely right though in their position to try to get rid of celebrating outside of there. Just as long as you do it on the back end as a front. The other thing I don't like is just in the end zone. Allow them to over celebrate there and under celebrate prior to getting there, and you got a good game.
Jermaine,
listen, I'm a former offensive player. When I had an opportunity to get in the end zone,
I
wanted to celebrate. And I tell you what, that's the fun of the game. You get in the end zone, celebrate. I don't mind using the football for a prop. I can understand maybe you're at the 25-yard line, you're taunt. But hey, Deion Sanders used to do it all the time. You know, what'd he say? Hey, stop me. I enjoy the celebration. And what do defensive players do the next time when you celebrate at the 10-yard line? They're looking for you and they're coming to air hole you. So you got to know, if I'm going to celebrate a little bit early.
Something's coming.
Yeah. Wait till you get in there,
and then do whatever you like.
All right, the Philadelphia Eagles have another quarterback, and they've had a couple guys that have been knocked out. Foles, I think, had a concussion against the Dallas Cowboys. Michael Vick has taken some shots. There was a lot of talk about Chip Kelly. Nick Foles throws for 7 touchdowns. A couple weeks ago, he didn't play too well against the Dallas Cowboys. See, but my point is, the offense is so up and down. Can this offense stick where Nick Foles can be this productive every week? Wiggy, start with you.
You're not playing against these college plays, and you're playing against where everybody can run. Everybody's an athlete. Everybody's big. And guess what? Everybody's smart, and they understand the NFL game. And I don't think it can sustain. I think it's just more of a fad than anything.
I don't know what the Chip Kelly offense is. I think there's definitely a Chip Kelly system as far as how they do things throughout the organization. But they're not running a lot of pistol. You mentioned that. They're running up-tempo spread, which is something that's around the league quite a lot. But I'm not sure that this is some revolutionary thing that we all thought it was going to be.
All right,
not me.
Good stuff, guys. Coming up next on Patriots This Week, we look at some of the surprise teams in the National Football League when we continue. Obviously, we're here at the bye week, which means the Patriots aren't playing, but we're still doing shows, we're still talking football. And the team that they're playing next week, the Carolina Panthers, let's take a look at their running back, D'Angelo Williams, right here. And this is a good defense. This is the New York Giant defense. Now, I know they don't have a great record, but the ability of D'Angelo Williams to get outside reminds me a lot of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, meaning he runs hard between the tackles. I want you to freeze it right there. Go ahead, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're getting 8 guys around the box. Now, stack receiver here, little give, little counter give to the left side. Go ahead and roll the tape. You're going to see him come underneath, allow the blocking to take place, finds that angle, and just lowers the boom. And that's what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis used to do. But right here, freeze it right here. Tampa, this is that quintessential Tampa cover 4, right across the board, where they bring those safeties, those corners up nice and run support. Watch this run right here. Watch his ability. Stop it right there. Okay, looks like we got a missed tackle here. You get 2 guys conversion. That's the block right here. And I want you to watch that guy come up, miss the tackle. He steps out of it. So a big, strong guy like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but Benny didn't have the speed that this guy does, so everybody's got to be on their keys. Great angles. That's D'Angelo Williams, and there's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And I think, obviously, the biggest surprise in the National Football League is the lone unbeaten team, the Kansas City Chiefs, guys. Now, in 15 days, they got the bye this week. In 15 days after that, they're going to play Denver, San Diego, then Denver again. And maybe we'll find out what the Chiefs are really about. But, Matt, start with you. What are you buying? You buying or selling the Kansas City Chiefs?
I'm buying because, again, it's a two-sided coin. They're plus 15 in turnover differential. They lead the NFL in that regard. Number two is Dallas at 10 and the Patriots at 9. And we know how good they are and how much that drove the success they had last year. I think they game manage well. You're right, Zoe. They're not exciting for sure. But they're more predicated on run game first with Charles. And then they've got Bo, who we know he's good but hasn't been terribly productive. And Alex Smith is a move-the-pocket guy. Can hurt you. But he's not throwing picks. He's doing a good job. They're managing games well, and they're causing turnovers.
Jermaine.
Yeah, I'm buying with very little money on them.
I mean, if you're Baltimore, and you're Baltimore, you get into the playoffs. Or if you're Cincinnati, or if you're the Patriots, or even throw Miami into the mix. And we saw Miami compete for a little bit. Or San Diego. Would any of those teams fear going into Kansas City in a playoff game?
It's a tough place to play.
It's loud once you pass the noise.
Well, I think the biggest thing that you brought up.
It scared me.
But I think the biggest thing that you brought up that would concern me is their ability to get after the quarterback. They lead the league in sacks, and they do have a very good pass rush. And Tom Ali, you know, okay, here's a guy that can win one-on-one matchups. But the one thing I would come back to is, like, who's the quarterback and who's the coach? And that's ultimately when you talk about playoff games and games that are won at the end, you got to look at your quarterback and coach. And that's why I'm putting a very minimal bet on this one.
Okay, biggest disappointment, and I just feel so, so bad. I stay up at night and I lose sleep over poor Matty Ice Ryan. You've got all this talent, and they're 2-6, but you know why? Because it's injuries. It's all about injuries. That's why they're not any good. 2-6 of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about top-heavy talent, and then, you know, they move up to get Julio Jones in the draft, Roddy White. Now somebody goes down, next guy steps in, and they can't get the job done. We've seen Tom Brady for 9 weeks here. Just stand there and answer question after question about team not that good, not that good, this and that. They're 7-2 at the bye.
I actually am a little more down on not so much the Falcons. I mean, obviously that's a disappointing thing. The Giants are disappointing. I think there's a few teams you could mention. I'm amazed in that sort of disappointment conversation how Baltimore has gotten such a pass. At 3-5.
Super Bowl hangover.
At 3-5.
Easy excuse.
Patriots had those.
But you know what I mean? Like, okay, Matty Ice, you know, the Falcons thing I get, the Houston thing I get, but how is the reigning Super Bowl champion at 3-5 with some of those losses to some bad teams, you know, putting no points in the board, how is that not the biggest disappointment?
And I agree with you, Zoe. You look at those teams, you talk about Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Atlanta, all these teams that have a lot of talent, and they look at their records. And then you got the Patriots that are sitting here at 7-2 and that have been decimated by injuries, just getting guys back. And that's the biggest – it's the disappointment. What? It's more it makes me upset that they always find excuses for other teams. And when the Patriots win, they never give them the credit.
Oh, they don't play anybody, right, because they don't play anybody.
Yeah.
So hold that thought, because since the Patriots are 7-2 heading into the bye, obviously, as we sit here at the bye week, coming up next are predictions and how this team will end up when this season's over, when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe with a Patriots bye week edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. Our stardom for week 10 is Pittsburgh running back Le'Veon Bell, who the Pats got a taste of last week. This week against Buffalo, the rookie is primed for what should be a breakout game. Our running back to sit is Frank Gore. Yes, the 49ers stud will be shaky against the Panthers, who are stingy against the run. And our sleeper, Cowboys wideout Terrence Williams. A four-game touchdown streak ended last week, but a new streak will start against New Orleans.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Obviously, we have no game this week, but we are going to comment on the final record for the rest of the season. I want the final record of this Patriots team. Start with Matt Chatham.
Well, we're 7-2 now. I'll give grace for two more losses. I don't know where they're going to come. They might not be the games you expect. I'll say 12-4, but definitely winning this division, that might be a bye. I'm not sure.
Wiggy.
I'm going to say 13-3. I give them one more loss. I don't know where it's going to come from either. I think the two toughest challenges are going to be Carolina and Denver. If they get through those two wins, they might might end up, you know, being able to run the table, but I'm going to say 13-3.
I mean, even if it would be 11, it would be amazing to get to 11 wins considering what this team has managed, what they've gotten to, and what they've done it with. I'm with Wiggy on this. I think looking at the rest of the schedule, there's going to be one team maybe that they're an underdog to if you're a Vegas bettor, and that's probably going to be the Denver Broncos. Other than that, the Patriots should be favored in every other game. I'm going to take them 13-3, and we'll see in the divisional round, let the chips fall where they may. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.